According to a new report, some 50% of millennials who decide to leave their jobs cite mental health concerns as the driving force behind their decision. That figure is even higher for workers who are part of Gen Z. A lot of questions remain about the issues factoring into the uptick in workers deciding to leave, but many point to higher stress, financial concerns, and other factors that lead to burnout among workers. Our next guest joins us to talk about these high rates of mental health concerns in the workplace and ways individuals and employers can tackle these problems maybe earlier on. Dr. John Lehrman is the Charles E. Kubley Professor in Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Lehrman, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It's a privilege to be joining you to talk about such an important topic.
Are you surprised to hear numbers like this? So many young people in the younger couple of generations in the workplace citing mental health concerns as being important enough to, in some cases, leave their jobs.
Yes, absolutely surprised. But also, I think it's a trend that's been happening. We're even seeing it in the medical field. There's a lot of concerns about burnout amongst physicians and care providers. So it's very similar. It's kind of a parallel that's going on. And what I'm pleased about, though, is that people are willing to talk about it because in the past stigma has gotten in the way. And it sounds like from what I'm reading and understanding about the millennial population is that they're more likely to seek treatment and get help, and that's a step in the right direction.
Right. It's probably hard to sort out. Are we seeing more people actually have mental health problems, or are we seeing people being more willing to talk about them, whether the rates are the same, higher, or lower? Do you have a sense, anecdotally or from research you've seen, which might be a bigger part of the story?
I think they're both part of the story. In my career, in my lifetime, I've seen stigma decrease over time, but stigma is still an issue. I also think that there has been more and more stress in our work environments. Again, you know, from where I live in the medical profession, there's been a lot of loss of the sense of autonomy in healthcare providers. With electronic medical records and more pressure to be productive, and as you lose autonomy, as you lose the time to have a personal touch with your patients, you tend to also get more burned out and not feel as valued, and it's harder to connect with your work. I think in similar ways in all areas of work. If we lose our sense of autonomy and don't feel as valued, and there's more and more pressures to get more, to be more productive and get more work done in shorter amounts of time, I think that leads to more stress. So I think that's all part of the picture.
We'll get into some maybe bigger picture solutions that employers might be able to tackle, but let's start with an individual. Somebody at their workplace is feeling that stress, that burnout, maybe in part because of that loss of autonomy you mentioned. What are ways we can cope in the workplace as individuals dealing with this stress and burnout?
So first, I think we need to take a look at our lives, and what's all going on in our life as far as, are we taking good care of ourselves outside of work? Are we getting enough sleep? Are we eating right? Are we getting exercise? All of which are really important in maintaining your health and mental health. And then, at work, what is under your control? Where do you have control in what you're doing? And to focus on that, and to try to see what kind of value there is in the work that you're doing, you can be satisfied and engaged in work, doing any kind of work, but part of it is you need to feel valued and feel like you're making a difference and contributing, and so part of that is I think at times we need to ask for feedback. Our society is set up in a way that we very rarely give positive feedback. We're very good at giving negative feedback, but we rarely say thank you and rarely give positive feedback and take the time. Yet psychologically, giving positive feedback is so much more powerful. But so sometimes I think we also need to ask for that feedback too.
Talking to Dr. John Lehrman from the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's a professor in psychiatry and behavioral medicine there. Talking about burnout in the workplace and mental health in the workplace. New studies say a lot of members of the millennial generation and Generation Z have actually left jobs because of mental health concerns. And the same story may be true of other generations as well. Dr. Lehrman, what can an employer do or a manager do to help those employees who may be dealing with burnout?
Thanks, Rob. Before I go there, I do want to say one more thing that I think individuals can do. Mm-hmm. So outside of work, if you are feeling really stressed, I also think it's valuable to see a psychotherapist. I believe psychotherapy is helpful for anybody. It helps you get another perspective on things. You don't have to wait until you have a mental illness to get psychotherapy. And psychotherapy is talk therapy. There's different kinds of approaches. And I think there's even some self-directed ways through mindfulness and things like that that can help us in help the way we view things and the way we look at things in our lives. So I really think that's also valuable. And before leaving your job, and I'm somebody who personally has struggled with some burnout in my career. Earlier in my career, it took some courage for me to go to my boss and say, "I can't do this anymore." I was worn out. I was working very hard on an inpatient mental health unit with you know, just too many requirements in my work and not enough people to support the work that I was doing. And I was losing my empathy towards patients, and I needed a change. And I thought about just leaving the job. I almost left academic medicine, and that would have been really sad. Instead, I talked to my boss, and the next month there was more help on the unit, and within the next year, much more help. And I was able to move through that. Now, I was fortunate to have a boss who was very supportive, but saw value in what I was doing. But I think most bosses do, and the cost of recruiting another employee oftentimes is pretty expensive. So it is to their from their perspective, there is value in figuring out ways to keep you there instead of having you leave. And oftentimes, and if they can make the workplace more supportive, that's really valuable. So going back to your most recent question, and that is, what can employers do? I think there's a lot that they can do. I think, first of all, I think they need to work towards becoming, developing a supportive culture in the workplace. And so not only am I a psychiatrist, but I manage a department that has over 200 employees. And one of the things I take pride in is developing a supportive family-friendly environment. What do I mean by that? Well, I want to have an environment where people are able to stay involved with their family at home, meet the family's needs, because they're going to be more productive at work. So I want to try to provide that kind of flexibility in their scheduling so they can be there for their kids' events or different things that are important to them with their family. I want to be supportive in getting to know them. I try to write personal thank yous for them. I want to give them positive feedback as much as I can. And having that kind of supportive culture has really helped with retention and the reputation. And people want to come and be part of a family or a team like that, a workplace like that. And so one of the results are there too. I mean, from employee engagement surveys, my department has done is one of the best at MCW, so that it really does make a difference when you have that kind of culture. And you don't. It's not all about how much you pay people. It's not all about compensation. You can pay people even below what the standard is if you have that kind of supportive environment. I'm not saying it should be a trade-off, but in mental health, it had been for me. We were underpaying our people because reimbursement is so challenging in mental health care. And so we were underpaying them, but yet I still had one of the most engaged groups of people in my department because they felt valued, I think, because they had a say in what was going on, because they had a supportive culture. I think all of those things make a difference.
We continue our conversation about mental health at the workplace following a new report that found some 50% of millennials, 75% of Generation Z have left jobs at some point due to mental health concerns and burnout. Our guest is Dr. John Lerman, professor in psychiatry and behavioral medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is this a concern for you at your own workplace, or has it been in the past? Are you willing to bring up issues of burnout with your boss, or if you are the boss, with your staff? Call it at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Kelly is with us in Milwaukee. Kelly, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great topic. I'm an occupational therapist, and I also manage a team of about 70 home care therapists at Horizon Home Care and Hospice. And I really believe a lot in work-life balance, and I have a team that they frequently kind of increase or decrease their FTE status from maybe a 1.0 down to a 0.8, down to a 0.7, and kind of ebb and flow based on what's going on in their home life. I have a lot of my team, too, who will intermittently take FMLA to be able to help out with family situations that come up or personal issues that they might need to deal with. And there's really a culture of no blame, no judgment. It feels really supportive of keeping people being able to kind of ebb and flow with what's going on in their home life. And I think that's just so key in keeping staff happy and feeling like they can live their lives and also do their jobs. And so great topic. Thanks for
Kelly, before we let you go,
yeah.
Do you feel like that attitude at the workplace helps keep people on that job, keep people from leaving?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I do. And I think one of the hardest things as a manager, I've had clinicians come to me in the past in other jobs where they've said, I'm taking this time off, and I'm thinking, well, you're not really giving me an option. But it's lent itself well as I've gone down my career path to just saying, well, why not? Like, I want to do whatever I can to help you take the time, to help you feel supported in taking the time, because then I know when you're there, you're really fully there. And I feel like it really lends itself well to a good collaborative team process.
Kelly, thanks so much for calling. Dr. Lerman, what do you think?
Well, I think Kelly is very wise. I think the flexibility that she allows the people that she employs makes a big difference for them. And it sounds like she's also just very supportive besides being flexible. And I do think that really is a wise strategy to support your people. And I think it makes a difference in retention.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kelly. We'll go now to Nicole in Madison. Nicole, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to say something that a professor of mine told me once, that people can change their career path 6 to 8 times in a lifetime. Now, he told me that several years ago, and I'm not exactly familiar with the data that there is to back that up, but it's something that I took to heart, especially having a hard time finding a career myself. And I don't think anybody should feel bad if they burn out at a job, especially people in the healthcare field. I have worked in healthcare. I've seen a lot of people become really, really stressed out caring for others, how caregiver burnout in whatever capacity it is. You shouldn't feel bad about it, but there should be a support system in place for people who do feel like they're waning. And if you can't find the drive to get up and every day to go into work and you're dreading going into work, there really needs to be a better support system for people who are experiencing that. I just wanted to kind of put my 2 cents in, so thanks for taking my call.
Nicole, thanks a lot for sharing your experience and that question. Dr. Lerman, how do we get a support system in place to help people dealing with burnout, even in challenging careers like healthcare?
So I think it's really important. So first of all, I think we need to have mentorship in our workplaces that can provide non-judgmental mentorship where people can be transparent and get that kind of support and advice in the workplace. But I also think there's ways to develop systems that to support employees. So, for example, in Fredericton and MCW, we've developed a support system that's a peer support system where staff support staff, supporting our staff. They call it SOS, and they learned about it from another system in Missouri that was doing it. And basically, when people get stressed out at work, have a death from one of the people you're taking care of, or they get assaulted by a patient in the place, a peer checks in on you. They support you. They help you work through some of these real challenging situations that occur in the healthcare field, for example. But I think you can have that same kind of supportive system in other businesses too. And so I think there's ways to incorporate that right into the system. Other systems use ombuds, people you can go to and just get things off your chest when you're frustrated with a boss or some problem with your system in a way that's kept confidential. So that's another thing that can be done in the workplace.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Dr. John Lehrman from the Medical College of Wisconsin, looking at burnout in the workplace. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in West Bend. Mark, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess my comment is I've definitely been affected by burnout, and I'm a member of the millennial generation. It's happened to a lot of people. I bounced, you know, early on in my career around early 20s through a lot of different call centers as a way to make, you know, a solid wage early on. And the burnout in call centers is just insane, especially, you know, you get a call right after call and you work mandatory overtime, and it just destroys you. And bosses in those kind of places, it's all about numbers, and there's no help for it. And I'd be really interested to hear, you know, if there's any hope for people in those kind of situations.
Mark, thanks for that call. Yeah, Dr. Lehrman, there are workplaces that are numbers-oriented, the churn-and-burn mentality. If we burn out some workers, no problem. We'll bring some more on. What do we do about that?
So I think that can be really challenging, especially if it's churn-and-burn, if there really is that attitude that we can always get somebody else. That may change because I don't know. Right now, most people are employed, I think, in our state. And so there's not as many people out there looking for jobs. And so, you know, when it becomes harder to fill positions, the workplace will want to retain people more. And I think, you know, the cost for recruiting somebody can be very significant, and or the cost of a business not managing, you know, at its highest productivity because you don't have people working. If you have to close parts of your business, that costs. So hopefully there's enough incentive that you want to keep people. And if that's the case, then systems even like that need to give people a break. Maybe they could, you know, incorporate an exercise break or something like that in the day that really could help people. Because, again, exercise is a great way to manage stress and also is very helpful in addressing depression. So I think there are things that can be done, but you're right. I mean, you can't do it if the business leaders don't want to make those changes and aren't valuing their employees. But then their risk is they lose a lot of employees.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call and for sharing your experience. And Dr. Lehrman, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a privilege again. And thanks for talking about mental health on your show.
That was Dr. John Lehrman, the Charles E. Kubley Professor in Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He joined us today to talk about burnout in the workplace. Recent studies show a growing number of millennials are leaving jobs because of mental health concerns, also members of Generation Z, and what we need to do to destigmatize concerns about mental health.